Hello one and all to another episode of Deep Lore. The cost of maintaining a car can be quite expensive. New tyres, oil changes, and engine repairs. Although, what would be particularly annoying is if seemingly your car would get damaged for no reason, and you can't seem to figure it out. Then you find out that a huge number of people in the state are having very similar problems. Then there might be something else at hand. This is exactly what happened during the windshield pitting epidemic of 1954. We start in the town of Billingham, Washington, towards the end of March in 1954. As people were getting ready to drive to work, they started to notice small pits or chips in their windshields. A minor problem for sure, nothing seemingly too suspicious. The few people that noticed sent reports to the police, who assumed it was due to vandals with the help of BB guns or stray buckshots. The police took note of this problem, but didn't seem to pursue it. A couple of weeks after that, police started to get reports of a similar occurrence by a few residents in Cedro Woolley and Mount Vernon, a whole 25 miles from the original town of Billingham. The police, still holding strong to their theory of vandals, believed they were targeting southwards, which was fulfilled when a week after Mount Vernon, a town called Anacortes on Fidalgo Island began reporting the same thing. It was the early morning in April 13th, 1954, when car owners, presumably leaving to head to work, started to notice similar chips and pits in their windshield, and like the other towns, they reported it to the police. However, the police in Anacortes were much more vigilant than previous law enforcement. They were determined to catch the people doing this before they could strike again. As soon as reports started to come in, all available law enforcement officers in the area sped into the town, ready to catch the villains. They set up roadblocks towards the south of the town, assuming the culprits were still following their southwards attack, and began to stop all cars leaving and entering the city to ask questions. They managed to discover absolutely nothing that would seem to help them with the case. It was only a small amount of time until military personnel located in Whidbey Island Naval Air Station at Oak Harbour, south of the prior incident, discovered that it would appear that they had been the victims of a similar attack. As the entire harbour was secured and enclosed, the suspects would no doubt still be there. 75 Marines spent 5 hours searching the entire naval base and couldn't find a single thing that was out of place. From the initial incident in Billingham up to this naval base, total 2,000 cars having damage and reported to the police. And no doubt many more that didn't get reported. Surely this couldn't have been done by simple vandals. There must be something more at play. Just quickly stopping to say a very quick thank you to everyone. Loving the conversations I've been having in the comments, and I appreciate the time people take to comment, like, and subscribe. Thank you very much. So, the police discovered that the line of attack that had stormed through the cities was heading straight for the busy Seattle. It had to be stopped before then. The day came. April 14th marked the peak of this mystery. It was at 6 p.m. that day, the reports began to come in that multiple police cars had been damaged with the same damage on the windshield. Followed by another citizen 3 hours later at 9 p.m. Cars that were driving in the street pulled to the side and flagged down police cars to report their damage. Whole parking lots and pre-owned car salesmen were reporting every one of their cars had been hit. More police cars parked right outside of a precinct were damaged too, all with the same little BB-sized pit. More police had to be brought in just to handle the influx of calls and reports. By the morning of the next day, April 15th, 3,000 windshields had been reported as damaged, and the police were just as clueless as they were back in Billingham. With no other option, they notified the mayor of Seattle, who requested that our old friend send aid. You already know who that is if you've seen other videos. He always seems here to save the day, President Eisenhower. Scientists were put to the job of figuring out exactly what happened. They used police reports, which had some relatively mundane points, and a few stranger points. The police had stated that they didn't believe it was caused by normal road use. They also found small pellets near the cars, When they used a pencil and placed it next to the small pellet, they said it behaved violently, which didn't happen when a ballpoint pen was used. There were many conspiracy theories going around when this happened. I'll name a few of them now. Some people believed it was from the recent H-bomb tests in the South Pacific causing radiation to hit the windshields, but Geiger counters proved this wrong. Others claimed it was due to cosmic rays from the sun, but little was known about cosmic rays in 1954, so this couldn't be proved or tested. Some say it was due to atmospheric differences. People claimed to see the glass in the windshield start to bubble away before the pit was formed, and some claiming this was due to a sand flea eggs that somehow were living in the glass and were starting to hatch, which was very unlikely. And despite some reports, supersonic sound waves were out of the question. Then there were people that I personally like the most, who just blamed it on gremlins with lack of a better idea. The scientists were set to the case, and they discovered that it was only old cars that were victims of this damage. Even in one car lot with a mix of new and old cars, only the old cars were hit. Within one day of them being tasked to this investigation, the scientists made a conclusion. Nothing happened. Yep, there was nothing in particular that caused the pits, and they were always there. The scientists explained that the owners of the car, obviously when they were driving, would look through the glass and not at the glass. A few owners up in Bellingham must have noticed the pit when specifically looking at the windshield. After they reported it to the police, more people paid attention to their cars, and more people noticed the pits that were already there. This, with the fear of a seemingly southwards moving direction of attack, meant that every town in that direction would be scared and pay close attention to the cars, which inevitably meant more people would find pits, report them to the police, and the cycle begins again. This would explain why only older cars were found to have them. The head of the Seattle Crime Laboratory said it was 5% hoodlums, 95% public hysteria, in reference to the small case of copycat crimes mimicking the pitting that occurred alongside the event. The strange little pellet near the cars? That was claimed to be tiny particles of coal dust that would travel through the air, and has been travelling through the air for years. Much like the windshield pits, it wasn't until people began looking around the cars that they noticed the particles that went previously undetected. After this report, the very next day, the 17th of April, all reports and incidents ceased. And just like that, the epidemic ended. The Seattle windshield pitting epidemic can be looked back as a case of collective delusion. It was sometimes called mass hysteria, but this term is incorrect for the occurrence. There are plenty of events in history where something similar to this caused an unknown outbreak, and I'm sure I'll cover some in the future. But in conclusion, sometimes the easiest answer is just the correct one. Thank you for watching this episode of Deep Lore. Hopefully, it's left you wanting to view more content. Please leave a like if you enjoyed it, and subscribe if you haven't done so yet. I would appreciate it if you could share it with your friends. After all, why leave the comfort of the VCR when we're only at the tip of the iceberg? There are still plenty more video cassettes left to watch.